begin. This week we begin the four makos, the ten makos, and we also begin make mention in Parashas Bo. It's also Parashas Shabbos, if I'm not mistaken, Shabbos Mevarchim. Shabbos Mevarchim, Monday, when is Rosh Chodesh?
Monday.
Okay, so Monday, Rosh Chodesh Shvat. Rosh Hashanah Li'ilonos, according to Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel is Tu B'Shvat. Okay, so in this week's parasha, we learn about the beginning of the ten makos, and we also learn about the four lashonos of geula. So I just want to start with a short little remez. A short remez is the tzeis, the tzalti, the gualti, the lakachti, the four lashonos of geula, and then the hevesi, the fifth remez. The four lashonos of geula are introduced with the words lochein, therefore, emar levnei Yisrael. Lochein emor levnei Yisrael ani Hashem. Okay, the Yotzeisi, the Yitzalti, the Goalti, the Lokachti. So I saw somewhere that the only other place, maybe it's about Baalaturim. Let's see, Lochein. No, it's not here. But the only other place in Chamishe Chumshe Torah where we have these two words together, Lochein emor, is in Parshas Pinchas. Lochein emor lo. Therefore, say to Pinchas, Hineni. So what's the connection? Nothing happens by coincidence. If these are the only two places in Tanakh, in the list of Chamishe Chumshe Torah, where we are introduced to a concept with the expression Lochein, therefore Emar, therefore you shall say, you shall declare. Obviously, there is a connection. The connection is very obvious. Is that the Yotzeisi, the Yitzalti, the Goalti, the Lakachti are not just the Shonis of Geula for Yitzias Mitzrayim. It is a template for the Geula Hasida. Whatever happened in Yitzias Mitzrayim is Maisa of a similar bond for the Geula Hasida, the four Lashonis of Geula, and we are reliving the unfolding of Geula Hasida through these Lashonis. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is reminding us if the key to make it happen is the bris of Shalom. The only reason why the Bayis Sheni was destroyed was because of Sinas Chinam. When Klal Yisrael is in a state of Shalom, everything is forgiven. Everything is guaranteed, everything is good, and then the four Lashonis of Geula will unfold very quickly. Tseisi, V'Yitzalti, V'Goalti, V'Lokachti, V'Hevesi. This is a remez in the link between these two ideas. This is the secret. So let's go to another idea. I saw a beautiful idea, opens up a whole new world, from Rav Soloveitchik. Mr. Rappaport, he gave me Matana, he gave me Rabbi Soloveitchik's commentary on Chumash Shemos. Someone came along and was malakit. And all the various, there were a lot of likudim, but this one was done very well. All the various articles and chidushim from Rav Soloveitchik, and they put it together in one sefer, rewritten. Everything was rewritten in English and noted source when where it was taken from, or when it was said. Some things are from tape, it appears. Some things are from documents. And he has here an incredible insight in the beginning of the parasha. Parasha begins va'era el va'edaber elokim el Moshe va'yomer lov ani Hashem. What's going on here? Ani Hashem. We don't know Ani Hashem. So Soloveitchik says, if you go back to Parshas Va'era, Parshas Shemos, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu first introduces himself to Moshe Rabbeinu at the Sneh, the burning bush, Hashem says to Moshe, if we look very carefully, two things. Number one, I am the Elokei Avraham, I'm the Elokei Yitzchak, and now I'm the Elokei Yaakov. I am the God of your forefathers. And then later in the discussion, in the conversation, Hashem says, go to the Jewish people and tell them that I appear to you, and tell them that my name is Eke, Eke Asher Eke. I will be that which I will be. Eke is the shame of one of Hashem's names, and from the context it has the connotation, it means I will be with you in the future. You need not worry. When things get difficult, I'm going to be with you, and ultimately I'm going to redeem you. I'm going to redeem you now at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and you should know that there are going to be other difficult times in your history, in the future. I will be with you in those difficult times as well. We actually learn later in the Pesukim that Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, why daya b'tzara b'shaita? There's no need to mention tzaras in the future generations. It's enough to deal with the tzara in this generation. Hashem says, you're right. Go to the Jewish people and tell them, Eke shalochani eschem HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent. Eke, according to Rav Soloveitchik, it's in the future tense. I will be with you. Will be with you. So if Soloveitchik says it comes out that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu, a careful study reveals, Hashem said, I was with you in the past, and I will be with you in the future. But the present, don't have any expectations to see the Yad Hashem. If you want to see the Yad Hashem, the Hashkocha working, you can see it in the past. I am Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. That was the first thing HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu. The past, study history. Jewish history is called Talmud Torah. You'll see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu always saved Klal Yisrael. The future, Emuna. I demand from my people that you have Emunah, and indeed, Klal Yisrael, we read last week's parasha, Vayamein Ha'om, they had faith when they heard, Ki Pokat Pokati Yeschem, Ve'esa'os Lechem B'Mitzrayim, and they heard that Moshe told them, Ekesh Shalachani Yeschem, Hashem will be with us in the future, they had Emunah. But what about Emunah in dealing with Hashem in the present? We don't find HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling Moshe Rabbeinu that you're going to see me in the present. And in fact, that's really what happens at the end of Parsha Shemos. Moshe goes to Paro, and he says to Paro, Hashem appeared to me. Hashem wants to redeem the Jewish people. He wants us to go to the Midbar and offer sacrifice for 3 days. Paro says, me Hashem, who is this God? I never heard of him. I don't know from him. Moshe Rabbeinu, you're causing a disruption. The people have work to do. And you know what? Get out of here. I don't want to see your face. And then Paro tells the taskmaster, the people in charge, you have to go. Don't give them any straw. They should do work harder. They should increase the labor and this and that. And it gets worse and worse. And Moshe goes to Hashem. Hashem says, what did you do, Hashem? You told me to go to Paro. And everything got worse. From the moment I went to Paro, Heira l'om hazeh. So Hashem says, I told you, Moshe, the present, I'm not giving you any guarantees. The present is off limits. I told you, focus on the past and focus on the future. The past, I was with you. Future, I demand you have faith. But the present, it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better. And in fact, it did get a lot worse before it got better. Moshe had a very difficult time dealing with it. The people, when they saw Moshe Rabbeinu, they cursed him. Yere Hashem v'yishpoit, Asherah. They cursed him. Look what you've done to us. So Moshe Rabbeinu says to himself, well, you know, what do I expect? Hashem told me only the past. Hashem told me the future and the present. There was no guarantee. But at the end of Parsha Shemos, Moshe Rabbeinu reached a breaking point. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, I don't want this mission. If the mission is only the past and the future, and not a mahalich to deal with the present, I can't deal with this. And that's really how end of Shemos ends. He repeat. Didn't Moshe already know this? Moshe already knew this. Hashem only told him the past and the present. Right, so let me read those psukim. Vayoshev Moshe El Hashem Vayomar. This is the Maftir Parsha Shemos. Hashem Lomor Hari Oso Laom Hazel Lom Hazel Shlachtoni Meoz Basil Paro Ledaber B'Shmech Hayra Laom Hazel Yatzel Yitzalta Esamecha. In other words, the present is unbearable. So that is where Parshas Vo'era begins. Vaidaber Hashem El. Let me turn the page. It only has a few words in each page. This wasn't a good idea. Vaidaber Elokim El Moshe Vayomilav Ani Hashem. Rav Soloveitchik says Hashem is the past, the future, and the present. We all know that Yud Kei Vav Kei, the meaning, the literal meaning of Yud Kei Vav Kei, is the combination of past, present, and future. Hashem here at this point gave in to Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, let's change of plan. Change of plan. I see that you are not up to the mission. You're not up to the mission. You're not up to my original plan. Only focus past and future. Change of plan. I'm going to be now for you the God of the past, the future, and I'm going to give you the ability to deal with the present. That is how the parsha. This is the departure. The beginning of Parshas Va'era is the departure, is a very strong break from Parshas Shemos. Parshas Shemos, Hashem introduces himself to Moshe. Hashem says to Moshe, past and future, look and study the past, and the Me'ela, have future, have to have faith in me in the future. The present, don't even think about the present, because there's no way in the world you're going to be able to deal with the present. Just forget about it. Moshe begins the process, and he knows the present, he knows in advance it's not going to go off well, but he goes through the motions. He goes to Paro, Paro makes litzanus of him, it gets worse. The end of Parashat Shemos says, Hashem, I quit. I thought I could do this, I can deal with the past and the future, but the present I'll be able just to acknowledge that there is the Anochi Haster Aster Ponai in the present. I quit. Hashem says, don't quit. You know what? Let's go to Parshas Va'era. Vayidaber Elokim el Moshe, Vayomer Lof, new plan. Ani Hashem. Ani Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, Hove, the past, the present, the future, I'll give you a mahalach, you'll be able to cope, you'll be able to deal. And indeed, everything in this Parsha is now where things begin to get better. From step, or at least we're able to deal with the difficulties. We have a mahalach, a Kadosh Baruch Hu is there step by step along the way. Now to add one little prat, it's not really enhancing the words, but later in the parsha, when we come to the Makah of Barad, so it says in reference to Makah of Barad, I'm going to send kol magifosai el libucha, all of my magifos. And Rashi says, from here we learn that the makah of Barad, okay, it doesn't say the word Barad, it says an expression, Bikoyrois, was shakal keneged kulam. Equal keneged all of the makahs. Let me see if I can quickly find the pasuk. At the end of the parasha,
pasuk
Yudalid. Ki bepam hazos ani sholech es kol magefosai el libucha u va'avodecha u v'yamecha b'avodita ki ein kamoni b'chol aretz. Okay, what does it say in Rashi? Rashi pasuk Yudal, it says kol magefosai lomadnu mikan shemakas bakuros or batzores shekula b'choros baku b'tzur. Okay, the different girsos, some say that this refers to makas b'choros. Now that's very difficult because we're not discussing Yamakas Bukharis, we're discussing Barad. So it doesn't mean it means Bakuros, which means to be smitten. It means when it's a complex Hebrew word which means Bikurois, the smiting of the produce of the.
Sifte
right, Chom
says it. Look at it. You have Sifte Chom?
No, I don't. I do.
You do?
I do. Nun. Ois Nun. Yes, I have it over here. Ein lufarish makas habchoyrim mamish dimkein ma boy lashmenu kan elik perish benutam miolins ki abeis nikres bechirik b not b with a shva bechirik viachaf bedogish b kurois perish miloshon bikurim the first fruits that the first fruits that were growing out of the ground were destroyed by the barad. Ki abarad loyloke ela hatvur shebikru ubishlod only destroyed the produce which grew which called sarcha. Like it says at the end of the parasha, ki hasoira aviv ve'apishta gival. Only those things that were in full blossom were smitten by the barad. Okay, the question of all the mafarshim is why indeed is it so that this makah was shakol keneged all of the makos? It's not Makas Bechoros, it's not the first, it's only in the middle. What is the unique quality of this Makah that the Pasuk should indicate that it's Shakal Keneged them all? So one of the unique features of this Makah is timing. It is the only Makah that was predicted to come at a very specific moment. What does it say? Because it says, Rashi goes on to say, Rashi goes on to say, "Vayomer Hashem b'hashkem abog v'zulfei paro, ki b'pam hazos ani shrit pasuk tezvav ki atosh shlachti es yadiv v'ach uskav yes amcha." That's Badover. I'm reading the wrong Badover. That was the previous one. Let me just find the Rashi. Okay, pasuk yud ches. Hinani mantir ko'es mochar. Okay, all of this part of the sequence of Makas Parot, I'm going to send over the Makab to destroy what has been survived from the Dever. I'm going to and anything which remains in the field. The Rashi comments in Pasuk Yudches Kois Mochar Koes Hazos Lemochar. What does this mean? Rashi continues. Sarat Loi Sarita Bakoisel. Moshe etched a mark in the wall. They used sundials Lemochar Kishetagia Chamo Lekan Yerid Habarat. When the sun reaches this location, the Barod will begin. Now this itself is very bizarre, because we know that the Barod was accompanied by rain. When the Barod came, it says, "Hinni mamtir lochem, mamtir ko'es mochar Barod koveid mod." Now when it rains, there are clouds in the sky, and there is no sunlight, and there's no sunshine. So the sundial is not operational when it's raining. So that's just a general question. It's a pell. What's going to be when the sun reaches this location tomorrow, at this moment in time, the Barod will begin. But Barod was accompanied by rain. It says, "Hinni mamti lechem Barod min hashamayim." So is that so? Is that how it works? That a sundial is operational even when it's cloudy? I don't think so. I think when it's cloudy and it doesn't work, you need shade in order for the sundial to work. Okay, whatever the story, let's leave that for the moment. But the Mefarshim point out that this Makkah was the only Makkah that was predicted with the utmost precision. Even Makkas Bechoros is only approximately in the middle of the night. And because the Hashem, we have all different interpretations of why only approximately, because Hashem did not want to give them the opportunity to go and say, you said in the middle of the night, and according to our calculation, it was not the middle of the night. So Hashem said, let's not argue about this, let's just say approximately. But when it comes to Bard, it was predicted with precision. Incredible precision. Now we can understand why indeed this was Shachol Kenegel Kol HaMakos. Because the entire theme, according to Rav Soloveitchik, of Parashas Vaera is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in the present. There is no greater moment of the present than a moment that you can predict. If you're dealing with time, and it's always approximate, sometime in the future, tomorrow, approximately at 12 midnight, this time or that time, you don't have a grasp on the present, because it's always the future. It may be already past, maybe it'll be in the future. But when you're able to pinpoint a moment in time, that represents the ultimate moment of the present. That's because I can wait and I can anticipate and I can cherish and focus on this specific moment. If it's true that the entire parsha, from the beginning of Parsha Sveir, it's taking this break, it's breaking away from Parsha Shemos and telling us, let's now work with the present. It's true, Moshe Rabbeinu was dealing with the Makos, and his Klal Yisrael are gradually being relieved from their misery, from their slavery, their servitude, but where in the parsha do you have an event where we capture the present? And that is the Makkah of Barat. And therefore, it's Shachol Kenegel Kol HaMakos. It fits, I think, well into the idea from Rav Soloveitchik. Okay, let's go to another idea. When Parsha begins, famous Rashi, Vo'eiro el Avraham el Yitzhak v'el Yaakov b'kel Shakai u'shmi Hashem lo nedati lohem. Rashi makes a distinction between Kel Shakai and Shmi Hashem Yudkei Vavkei. Rashi says, b'kel Shakai, Hiftachtim haftochais uvukulo amarti lochem anikel Shakai. The name that I use when I make promises to the Avos is with the name Shakai. But Shmi Hashem lo nodati lohem lo hodati ein ksiv kan. It doesn't mean I did not make known to them. Elo lo nodati lo nikarti lohem b'midas amitis shali shalecha nikra shmi Hashem. Nemon la ames divarai sharei hiftachti v'lo kiyantma. I have not made my name known to them. They have not seen the fulfillment of the promises they have made known to them. So Rashi, similarly on Rashi, you can be medayik in Rashi what exactly this means, but the general gist is that Hashem appeared to the others with the name Shakai and not with the name of Yudkei Vavkei. And Rashi is aware, obviously, read Rashi very carefully, that Rashi is aware that if you go back to Chumash Bereishis, you'll find that with regard to every single one of the others, Hashem did appear with the name Yudkei Vavkei. Look at Parshas Vayera. Vayera Elov Hashem Be'elonei Mamrei. Hashem is Yudkei Vavkei. So what are you going to tell me that Hashem did not make himself known to the Avram Avinu with the name Yudkei Vavkei? On a very simple level, this pasuk is very difficult. Before you get into Rashi and you start making diukim in Rashi, just take the pasuk at face value. I appear to Avraham, to Yitzchak, and to Yaakov bekel shakoy ushmi Hashem loy nodati lohem. What are you talking about? Go to the beginning of Parashas Vayera. Vayera elov Hashem. Yud kei vav kei. Hashem appeared el Avram. Be'ilone mamre. V'yoyshev pesach el kechom hayom. Goes to the whole Chumash Bereish, you'll see that the name Yud kei vav kei appears in reference to every single one of the others. So what does the pasuk mean here al p'fi pshuta? So Rashi, obviously, if you read Rashi very, very carefully, you'll see Rashi is coming, of course, Hashem appeared to the others with the name Yud kei vav kei. But what it means is, what does the name really represent? What's the deeper meaning of the name? It means fulfillment of a promise. Those fulfill the fulfillment of the promises that they never experienced. Okay, very good. Yeah?
Or Vayera Elav Hashem, all it means is Hashem appeared to him. It doesn't mean he introduced himself.
If the Torah is using... Okay, so you can give many answers. I'm not coming to deny what you're saying is correct. And Rashi really is very deep how Rashi addresses... Rashi really is addressing this issue. And Rashi, in a very brilliant way, is explaining what exactly it means. Rashi is the Rabban Shel Yisrael. I want to suggest a drush. A drush, which is much infinitely low level, but another way to look at the answer to this contradiction. If we go back to Parashas Shemos, when Hashem appears to Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem by the burning bush, Hashem, when He says that I appear, I am the God of your forefathers, Hashem uses the word Elokei in between Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Okay, let me turn to the pasuk by the burning bush. Moshe hayiraya, vayom Moshe suno v'yeres amar hagol hazeh, vayashem kisar liros, vayom al tikrav halom, vayoymer onochi elokei avicha, elokei Avraham, elokei Yitzchak, velokei Yaakov. Like Shmona Esrei. Why in Shmona Esrei don't we join the three together? We can save three words. Baruch atah Hashem elokeinu velokei avoseinu, elokei Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Why do we have to break it up and say, okay, Avram, okay, Yitzchak, okay, Yaakov? Well, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu break up and say, okay, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? Obviously, the answer is, each one had a unique approach to serve Hashem. Avraham is Chesed, Yitzchak is Din, Yaakov is Emes. Okay, that's a whole discussion. But each one had a unique relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And in fact, HaKadosh Baruch Hu emphasized that point where he breaks the three up into three different groups. I am the God of Avraham, the God of Yitzchak, the God of Yaakov. Yet here in Parashas Vayera, Hashem mysteriously no longer breaks them up into three groups. Hashem puts them all together. Vayera, I appeared El Avraham, El Yitzchak, V'El Yaakov. Doesn't say Vayera El Avraham, Vayera El Yitzchak, Vayera El Yaakov. Why isn't the pasuk here consistent in breaking up the others as it broke up the others in Parashas Shemos? So that I think is what Rashi is coming to. That is what the pasuk is coming to answer. Bekel shakoi, ushmi Hashem lo nodati lohem. The emphasis on the word lohem. What I'm trying to say is, when I appear to the avos with the need of yudkei vavkei, the avos never saw the big picture. The avos saw yudkei vavkei. Hashem, they saw yudkei vavkei as individuals. Hashem is. Past, Yudkei Vavkei is the past, the present, and the future. Avraham saw a darga, a degree of past, present, future. It says in Pasuk. Yitzhak also related to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, past, present, future. Yaakov also related to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the past, present, future. But there was no overlap. There was never a time when Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov saw each other. The three together, they lived together for a very short period of time. They overlap by 15 years. But already, those 15 years, Yaakov was too young and Avraham was too old during those 15 years. They never lived together or saw the big picture with the name Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. They all saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the name Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. They all saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mid of MS. Everything that the name Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, whatever this means, this very deep Kabbalistic meaning of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, of past, the present, the future, whatever it means, they all saw. But they only saw it in an isolated period of time. To see the big picture, to see how each one of them together was a part of a whole, how their midos contributed to create Klal Yisrael, which is the sholem of Chesed, Gevura, and Emes, with the midah Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, that they never saw. They only saw together. Avraham knew from Yaakov. Yaakov knew from Avraham. He knew from Yitzhak. They all knew, but they only knew of each other Bekel Shakai. Sha'omar li'oilomoi die. The name Kel Shakai has the connotation of limitation. They were limited in seeing the big picture of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You, Moshe Rabbeinu, are going to be the first one. Are going to be the first one where you're going to see the Geula, and you're going to see how it all comes together. You're going to see the entire history of Klal Yisrael come together and to produce a product of Geula, a product of Klal Yisrael coming to Har Sinai and being Mekabel the Torah. So drush. Rashi is again the drush over here is Vayidarvel and Vo'ira. I appeared over here. The pasuk is bringing together the three as a group. I appeared to Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov together. When each one of these three looked at their partner in creating Klal Yisrael, it was only Bekel Shakai. It was only with a limited appreciation of how they would all emerge, synthesize into one unit to produce a Klal Yisrael. It was only Bekel Shakai. It doesn't mean that Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov did not know from the midah of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. Certainly they did. There's no doubt about it. Al derech drush, Avraham knew Yud-Kei Vav-Kei more than we'll ever know from Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. Yaakov knew from Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. Yitzhak knew from Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. But they did not know from Yud-Kei Vav-Kei as a unit. As a unit, here, and the reason why we have the right to say this is because here the Pasuk is not breaking them up into three groups like it broke them up in Parashat Shemos. When Hashem appears to Moshe in Parashat Shemos, I'm the God of your forefathers, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzhak, Elokei Yaakov. And here, we're taking out the Elokei, we're taking out the Vayera, Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov as a unit. As a unit. They never saw the big picture. It was limited. Shakai, Sha'omar, Le'olamai, Dai. Dai means limitation. You, Moshe Rabbeinu, are entering into a new era. You're going to be the Moshe and Shel Yisrael. You're going to be Zoicha to see things that even they did not see. You're going to see Ushmi Hashem, the big picture of everything coming together, of the past, the present, the future. That is something with you, Moshe Rabbeinu, are going to see. And Allah has kama kama for us. We're living at the end of day, at the end of time. And we have in front of us, we have access to the whole history of Klal Yisrael. And we have what to learn from. We are zoicha. We have to appreciate that Kadosh Baruch Hu leaves over in every generation something that the previous generation, even though they were infinitely greater than we can even imagine, yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives people in later generations certain bracha that was not present in the previous generations. And if this is what, if this drush is correct, there's some mashu of truth in this drush, then Allah has kama v'kama for us living at the end of days, we are able, if we only apply ourselves, to see the big picture of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov with all of history and all of the things that have come from the beginning of time until today. Okay. Let's go to another idea, another short idea on this pasuk as well. Vayidaber Elokim el Moshe vayomer lo ben Elav ani Hashem vo'era el Avraham el Yitzchak v'el Yaakov b'kel shakais. I saw in a sefer, I do not remember where I saw this, but I saw in a sefer that took note that there are only two mitzvahs in the Torah that are introduced with the word shakai. Rabbi Mayesk is going to help me quote the pasuk. One is in Parashas Lech Lecha and one is Parashas Vayishlach, and they are the mitzvah of Bris Mila and the mitzvah of Priya Urviya. In the mitzvah of Parashas Lech Lecha, at the end of Parashas Lech Lecha, Hashem says, "Hishalech lefanai, ani kel shakai, ani kel shakai, hishalech lefanai ve'yesamim." So the mitzvah of, and then it goes on to say, "I'm now going to give you the bris of milah, and it's going to be the covenant between me and Klal Yisrael v'chulu v'chulu." Bris milah begins with shakai. In Parashas Vayishlach, I'm going to cause you to multiply and to increase. So in Parashas Vayishlach, the mitzvah of Priya Urviya, the theme of Priya Urviya, is introduced with also Shakai. What does Priya Urviya and Bris Mila have in common? The answer is, they both express that man is a partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in creation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu only created one man and one woman, Adam v'Chava, and Hashem says, listen, the rest of the world, that's up to you. You want to be my partner? I don't want you doing this much. Adam and Chava have a mitzvah, pre-revia, to bring into this world more human beings. You are my partner in creating this world. What is the mitzvah bris milah? The bris chazal, the numerous amri chazal. Hashem wanted a person to have a bris milah, so why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create a person with a foreskin? Why is there this appendage? Hashem says, I want you also to participate in finishing off your body. I want you to also be a partner in what? To perfect your body. I'm leaving something over for you to finish off. Not everything do I have to do. I want to give a human being an opportunity to feel fulfilled. If you have a mission, if you have something that you can do, you have a sense of fulfillment. I'm a part of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. These two mitzvahs clearly represent this theme of Hashem giving a human being an opportunity to do something, to air, to enhance a Kadosh Baruch Hu's Bria. And now, when it comes to the beginning of the process of Geula, once again, Vayidaber Vo'era El Avraham El Yitzchak V'El Yaakov Bekel L'Shakoi U'Shmi Hashem Lo Nedati Lohem. Hashem emphasizes the beginning, the Gam HaKimosi, as we're going to right away lead into the four Lashonos of Geula. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling, listen, let's first go back and trace his, let's go back and discuss your Yichus Klal Yisrael. I want you to remember there's something called Kel Shakai. This is how it all started. And now let's talk about Geula. What is the message? The message is very simple. Geula is something where HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to participate. Geula is not something that we just sit back, you sit back on your rocking chair, and you do your thing, and you know, the Geula will unfold. It's just going to happen. The sun rises, the sun sets, things grow out of the ground, things happen, everything happens naturally. So Geula will eventually just, world events will come about and the Geula Mashiach will just sprout out of, come out of nowhere and Mashiach will come. Hashem's introductory remarks to the parasha of Geula is, just like when it comes to Priya Urviya and Bris Milah, I'm giving you an opportunity. I'm not doing this. I want you to participate. Geula is something HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to participate. How? That's a tough question. Okay, that's a good question. But it doesn't mean to sit back and do nothing.
This fits in very well with the words you said about the repetition of the Chalayim by Yosef, that you said that this was different than all the other Chalayimists. All the other things, because here you had to actually, Yosef came to the conclusion.
Yes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was ready. Hashem is in a rush. Hashem is the repetition of the Chalayim is because Hashem,
not just the rush, but that he
needs a partner. He needs a partner. So here as well, this word, according to Rashi, is a statement. I have to deal with you, Moshe Rabbeinu. I wish I had the avos. The avos, they were maminin. They were Shakai people. You're only a Yudke Vavke person. That's the pshat. But al derech Jewish Hashem Kodesh Baruch Hu is, we're now going to begin Geula. I want to let you know that you come from the avos. The avos were people who appreciated the concept of Shakai. And what is Shakai? Shakai means is the name that I used, Brismila, name I used for Pre-Revia. It's the name that I used to hint to a person, you have to be my partner. I'm not going to do this on my own. That's what I want you to focus on when we begin the process. Don't sit back and think everything just going to happen by itself. You have to be active. You have to do hishtadlus. And what is the hishtadlus doing? Tshuvim, ma'asim tovim, and tefillah. Is the hishtadlus being an advocate and going and working in government and bringing about, doing pu'ulos in the world in order to bring Mashiach? Obviously, every single person on their level, every person has their tafkid. Avasinu, whatever your tafkid is. Certain people, whatever your tafkid is, your tafkid is. But you have to realize, gu'ula is something which demands an active participation to bring about. And that is what is merumas in the introduction of the word Shaka.
There's
only Moshe or Benjamin? Klal Yisrael. Moshe is serving as taking the lead. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling him, you have to understand, Geula is going to be done with Kel Shakai. That's what Geula is all about. Geula is not something that's passive. It's something which you have to take in. There has to be active participation. Okay, let's go to another short idea. We have here what appears to be repetition. In the Torah, nothing is repeated. Everything is done with extreme precision, beyond our wildest imagination. But there does appear to be a difficulty. Because the beginning of the parasha, in Pasuk Yud-Beis, in Paragraph Pasuk Yud-Beis, it says, Vayidav Yemayishu l'fei Hashem lemar, hein behold, b'nei Yisrael lo shamu elai. They don't listen to me. They have not listened to me in the past. I've spoken to them. They don't listen to me. And if they don't listen to me, the Eich Yishme'eni Faro. How is Paro going to listen to me? And certainly, Allah has kam v'kama, v'ani aral sifosayim. Rashi says, aral means otum, my lips are sealed. Simply means I can't speak, I can't argue. On a much deeper level, it means, the Mufarshim say, is a shaliach is only as good as the people he represents. If the people you represent don't believe in the cause, you're dead on arrival. You don't even have a chance. If you are representing a group of people and they don't believe in your mission, you're not going to have siyata shmaya, you're not going to succeed. As Moshe Rabbeinu over here is saying, what could I possibly say to Paro that will have any meaning if the people who I represent have given up hope already? If the people I represent, Klal Yisrael don't listen to me, they don't listen to me, I'm now going to go to Paro, and Paro is going to listen to me. My lips are sealed. I'm no better. I don't have any more power than the people who I represent, so it's not going to work. And in fact, as I'll say, this is one of the 10 times in the Torah where we find a Kal V'Chomer. 10 incidents in Tanakh, there's a Kal V'Chomer, and here is one of them. All right, so this is the Kal V'Chomer. Very nice. Then we have a pay, which means it's a parasha psucha, and we begin to go through the yichus of Klal Yisrael. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe v'el Aaron be'etzavim al tzvnei Yisrael v'el paro melech Mitzrayim lo yitzias Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim eile roshei ve'esav o'esav v'chulu until we come to Perek Zayin. Let's go to the very end of the perek. Perek pasuk chavtes. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe v'leimor ani Hashem daber el paro melech Mitzrayim eis kol asher ani daver lecha. Vayoyimer Moshe lifnei Hashem hein ani aral sifosayim ve'eich yishma elai paro. Didn't we say kimat exactly? Just about these exact words, what it says in Pasuk Lamed, back in Pasuk Yud Beis says, "Vayidaber Moshe lifnei Hashem lemor hein b'nei Yisrael lo shamu elai ve'eich yishmeni Faro v'anir al sifosayim." And now once again in Pasuk Lamed it says exactly this thing, "Vayomer Moshe lifnei Hashem hein anir al sifosayim ve'eich yishmeni elai Faro." So who asked this question? Rashi asked the question. Rashi says a really tough question. He amira sh'amal l'malo hein b'nei Yisrael. This is exactly word for when it said only a few psukim go in the same parak. So why here is it repeated? Sirach, he says, al derech pshat, answer. V'shane hakosav kan kevan shehifsik u'inyin. Since we were distracted. We were distracted. V'chein hi hashita. This is very common. Ka'odam ha'oimer nachzor al harishonais. When you have a conversation and you get distracted, someone's cell phone goes off. And then you have to go back to where you left off and you have no choice but to repeat the last sentence that you said before the distraction. So that's a simple technique of why the pasuk here is being repeated. Okay, so the Torah. This is Rashi. Rashi is saying a pshat in the pasuk is a very fascinating thing to say such a thing. This is pshat, there's repetition, and there's really no...
digresses and then he says,
alright,
let's pick up where we left off,
and he repeats a little bit what he says. So that's how you learn Shana Pasid. I want to suggest a drush, a very simple drush. There is a difference between what it says in Pasik Yudches and what it says in Pasik Lamed Chavzayin, where the first pasuk was Pasuk Yud Beis. There's a difference. In Pasuk Yud Beis, it makes mention Moshe complains about Klal Yisrael. Vayidabe Moshe lefei Hashem l'morhin b'nei Yisrael l'shamu elai. The Jewish people, the b'nei Yisrael, they don't listen to me. And if they're not going to listen to me, Allah has come v'kama, Paro's not going to listen to me. V'anir al-sif asayim. And to top it all off, however you want to learn shot, I'm a kavat peh. Or al-sif asayim is, I don't have what to say to Paro because I don't represent anyone. The people don't listen. In Pasuk Chav Zayin, Moshe Rabbeinu, when he complains, he doesn't complain about Klal Yisrael anymore. He just complains about Paro. When Achzer Al Harishayna, it's Vayidaber Hashem. Where's the pasuk again? Hey, Medaber Ma Pasuk Lamed. Vayoyim Moshe Lefnei Hashem. Hein Ani Aral Sifasayim. The Eich Yishma Eli Paro. If we truly want to be Nachzor Al Harishayna, we should make mention that Moshe complained that Klal Yisrael is not listening to me. And in fact, that's critical for this statement, because since this statement is only built on a Kal V'Chomer, it's built on a Kal V'Chomer. So the whole punch of Eich Yishma Eli Paro, who says, if I tell you Paro's going to listen. The only way you can have the chutzpah to tell me Paro's not going to listen is because the Torah is Nidrash in the Yud Gimel Midos. And the Yomel Gimel says the Kal V'Chomer. So if you have a legitimate Kal V'Chomer, then you have a pischen peh to argue with me and to go tell me it's not going to work. So L'Chora, we're leaving out here something which is essential. If we're being Nachzer Al HaRishonis, like Rashi says, how could we leave out this essential piece of information? This piece of information that Hein Ani Arav, that Eich Yishma Lai Faro. So I want to suggest that exactly is the difference between the Hefsik of the Yichus of Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu, this is a drush. Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, I'm not going to Paro. You tell me it's going to work, I have a right to tell you it's not going to work, because the Torah is given to Klal Yisrael, Torah Lava Shemayim, and one of the midos that we are entitled to use in our conversation with the Kodesh Baruch Hu is a Kal V'Chomer. And the Kal V'Chomer is the Jewish people don't listen to me. So Hashem says, got a good point. Let me give you an answer. You know what the answer is? The answer is, let's be miyachitz, let's discuss the Yichus of Klal Yisrael. Yichus is Vayidaber, right after he makes this argument, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Vayitzaveim, and Hashem says, go to Paro. I don't want to hear this answer. Vayitzaveim El Bnei Yisrael, I'm sorry, El Paro Melech Mitzrayim, I want you to speak to the Jewish people. You told me the Jews don't listen to you, go speak to them. And you're telling me Paro does not listen to you? Go to Paro. I'm not accepting your argument. The Pasuk Yud Gimel is a direct response to Pasuk Yud Beis. Pasuk Yud Beis, Moshe says the Jews don't listen and Paro does not listen. Hashem responds, go talk to the Jewish people and go talk to Paro. Now, then begins the next section, which is the Yichus of Klal Yisrael. Eile Roshe Vesavoisam B'nei Ruvain V'chulu V'chulu, all the way until we get down to Moshe V'Aaron and the Yichus, all the way down until the very end, until Pasuk Chav Ches. What is Hashem saying? If you study the Yichus of Klal Yisrael, you will discover they do listen to you. Ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim. The yichus of Klal Yisrael is an awakening, an awareness that even though superficially it may seem they're not listening, people that come from such good stock certainly listen. They listen. Whenever you have doubts, it's a very powerful technique. Whenever a person is in a state of doubt, state of Hester upon him, Hashem, and it appears that things are not going, you're not being successful, trace your roots. Look back to the Avos. Look back to your Yichus. When you trace your roots, you will be overwhelmed. You will be reminded that you come from good stock and they are Maminim. In other words, I'm being vague, but what we're trying to say is this entire section of the Yichus of Klal Yisrael is Hashem's response to say you're wrong. They do listen. They would never have made it this far, survive this long in Egypt for 210 years unless the people are Ma'aminin and they listen to their leaders. They would not be able to produce a nation of 600,000 people unless they're people who listen to what their leaders tell them to do. They listen to their parents and to their grandparents and to their great-grandparents. So how dare you, Moshe Rabbeinu, say the Haim B'nai Yisrael lo shamu elai. You're wrong. The proof is in the history of Klal Yisrael. So Moshe, and therefore then afterwards, after Hashem refutes his argument, the starting point of his argument, Pasuk Chav Tes says, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Leimar, Ani Hashem, now Daber El Paro Melech Mitzrayim. No longer do I have to tell you to speak to Klal Yisrael too, because I already explained to you they listen to you. That's the Yichus. Just go to Paro. And here is where Moshe makes the big mistake. And Moshe says, okay, Ribbono Shel Olam, you're right. We've gone through 50 psukim here, you're telling me that Klal Yisrael believes. And you've shlugged up my Kal V'chomer. But still, Paro's not going to listen to me. He still is stubborn. Moshe Rabbeinu was still stubborn. And he says, you're right, fine, I accept the Musar that Klal Yisrael are going to listen, but hey, Nani Aral Sifosayim, I'm still an Aral Sifosayim. I don't have the Koyach HaDibur. I need an Aroin. V'eich Yishma Eli Paros. I think it's very meduic. You read the psukim. What? The next pasuk, Hashem, it was a mistake because in the Midrashim, Chazal said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was very disappointed that the Kohuna was taken away from Moshe because he said this. This already is where he went too far. So, but I think if we go through,
Hashem tell him that he's not, Paro is not going to listen. Every time he went, he says, "Don't worry."
Okay, but Enoch, that's why Moshe responded. But still, Moshe, he was still ordered to go and speak to Paro. To review, I think the psukim are very meduyak. Very meduic. We have here repetition. Rashi asked the question. Rashi, derech pshat. Rashi always says, "Libasi el lefarish." Al derech pshat is a style in Tanakh. In Tanakh, when you're distracted, when we yachis klal yisrael, we go back to where we left off, and we repeat the theme. Derech drush. There's a major kasha. The question is, if we're really going back to repeat, how come there's a discrepancy between what it says in pasuk yud beis and pasuk lamed? In pasuk yud beis it mentions the bnei yisrael, and in pasuk lamed it leaves out the bnei yisrael that they're not going to listen. I think the answer is Moshe Rabbeinu commits a double complaint. Hashem says to him very right after, you're wrong on both accounts. Go to Klal Yisrael and speak to them, and they're going to listen to you. And go to Paro, they're going to listen to you. And as far as you're concerned, they're not going to listen to you. I'll prove to you they're going to listen to you, and the proof is we're going to be miyaches. We're going to enumerate the lineage of Klal Yisrael. And whenever you're in a situation where you think you're not accomplishing, when a Jewish leader thinks he's not accomplishing anything, he only needs to study history, and you will see that the people that he leads, they're always willing to listen and to obey. The fact that Klal Yisrael has reached this point, they've come from the Shvatim, they come from the Avos, all of the Yichus of Klal Yisrael is an indication that they are good people and they listen. So you're wrong on that account. And therefore, now that I've proven to you that they will listen to you, then the next pasuk says, now you can just go and talk to Paro. I've explained everything to you. And Moshe Rabbeinu here, he makes them sick. Chazal say he made them sick. You're right, Hashem. It's very meduyik now. You're right. I accept that the Jewish people, they will listen to me. You've proven to me that they have a good, they come from good stock and they listen. But my second argument, even though it's no longer built on a Kal V'Chomer, the Kal V'Chomer has been refuted. We've taken away the foundation of the Kal V'Chomer. But still, Ani Aral Sifasayim, V'yech Yishmaelai Paro. Hashem says, you should not have said that. And because you've said that, you've lost the kahuna. Now we're going to bring in Aaron, Yehi and Neviyecha. You're going to be the Levi, he's going to be the Kayin, and it's going to be a whole different, the whole different future for Klal Yisrael. You was meant that you should be the Kayin, Aaron should be the Levi, or whatever, you'll be both. But now we're going to bring in Aaron, because this already, you've went too far, because now the Kal V'Chomer has been refuted, and you're just making a statement of refusal. You have no right to refuse a Kodesh Baruch Hu.
Why the mind makes this way, but he makes the point of bringing all the way back over here, that when Moshe hit the rock, that was all the way back to this, the Egel is because of this, was Aaron had to be halfway in charge, and that's what caused all the headaches.
Okay, I want to give one more vart. One more vart, well, at least one more vart. We'll see how much time we have. But later when Moshe comes to Paro, he does like gives a maifes. Let's see what it says here in the pasuk. He provides a maifes. Let me find the pasuk. Vayidaber. Okay. Vayomer Hashem Moshe v'Aleimar b'kidaber l'Paro leimar. When Paro will say to you, Tnu lochem maifes. V'yamarta el Aaron, kach esmaticha, v'hashlech lefnei faro yihi lisanin. Okay, that's what Hashem says. You're going to Paro, he's going to say, tnu lochem mofes. Now there's a diyuk in the pasuk, which we'll get to a moment. Why doesn't it say tnu li? It should not say give lochem, it should say tnu li mofes. V'ayovoi moshe v'yaron el Paro v'yayas v'chein kasher tziv v'tziva Hashem v'yashlech Aaron esmateyu v'lefnei faro v'lefnei avodo v'yihi lisanin. Okay, let's look at this pasuk and let's go back to Parsha Shemos. In Parsha Shemos, when Moshe Rabbeinu he comes to Klal Yisrael, Hashem says, "I want you to show them an oath. What is the oath? To throw down your stick, something very similar. To throw down your stick, and the stick turns into a snake." That's the son of you of this part. That's Parsha Shemos. But let's go back to Parsha Shemos. In Parsha Shemos, let's find the pasuk. Perek Dalet. Okay, Vayome Vayan Moshe Vayomer Hein Lo Yaminu Liv Lo Yishuv Lo Kol Kiyamu Lo Nireh Lach Hashem. Vayomer Lo Hashem Mazze Biyodecha. They're not going to listen to you. You're going to the Jewish people. They're not going to believe to you. Mazze Biyodecha. Vayomer, and he says, Mate, I have a mate. Vayomer Hashli Chehu Arza. Throw the mate to the Arza. Vayashchehu Arza. Okay, it's very similar. He's throwing a mata, and the mata is turning into a nochosh. Vayonos Moshe miponav, and Moshe he flees, he runs away from the nochosh. Okay, here's the question: why is it that when Moshe Rabbeinu he came to Klal Yisrael and he threw the mata, or when he practiced and he turned the mata into a nochosh, Moshe was startled? And Moshe ran away. He did a my face, right? He did an ice. The mat, it turned into a nachash. Oh, a snake, a poisonous snake. Even though Moshe is before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's standing with Melech Malchei Hamlachim, and Hashem tells him to do this. You can't deny that he's a human being. And a human being, he sees danger, he sees a poisonous snake that is hissing, so his impulse reaction is to run away from the poisonous snake. Right? It's interesting. Even Moshe Rabbeinu, who lechem lo yachalti, imayim lo yishasisi, when the stick turns into a snake, he runs away. Hashem is standing in front of you and you're running away. Where's the derech eretz? Hashem can take care of you. Still an impulse. When he goes to Paro, and he does even worse, it's even more dangerous. Hashem says to Paro, he says, Vayashech Aaron esmat lefnei Faro, lefnei ala vayihi lisanin, a serpent. A sanin, I don't know exactly what a sanin is and a nochash is, but the impression we get is a sanin is much, much more dangerous than a nochash. A sanin, I think we have a right to assume a sanin is a more dangerous creature than a nachash. So kal v'chomer, if Moshe Rabbeinu was terrified of the nachash, shouldn't you think that Moshe Rabbeinu should be more terrified? More terrified? Nothing. Vayikra gam paro lachachamim v'lam chashvim v'yasu gam him v'chashvim v'chashvim v'latayim kein. They also make taninim. But those taninim were fake taninim. They were not real taninim. Moshe was a real tanin. I have an answer. Okay. Okay? It's a kasha. Good? It's a good kasha.
I want you to get
okay, so we have over here a kasha. Why is it that the Nochosh, Moshe was terrified, but when he comes to Paro, big deal.
It's the second time out.
He's used to it?
He knows what happened.
It's a tanin.
That's the answer. The answer's better than
okay. Who says the answer's good? Okay. Okay, so I want to suggest an answer. The answer I want to suggest as follows. In this pasuk, Paro says, Vayavo, Hashem says to Moshe, Ki daber lechem paro leimar tnu lochem moy face. Now first we have to realize when it says lochem, lochem means, doesn't say tnu li. A lot of the mafarshim make big this point. Tnu doesn't say, you would expect the pasuk, do for me a sign. Paro was very clever. If you really a leader of your people, do you really believe in your mission? Like exactly what he suspected. I want to see that you should do a sign for yourself. Prove it to yourself that you are sincere. If you can prove to yourself that you're sincere, then maybe I'll consider your request. If you're just here, you're just being paid to be a representative, to do a column of something which is meaningless, it's nonsense. Tnu lochem. So over here we're dealing with the real deal. Okay, but what is the sign called? It's called a moifes. That's the term that the pasuk uses when Moshe and Aaron go to Paro. Back in Parsha Shemos, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, when you're going to go to Klal Yisrael, you're going to take the mat and you're going to turn into a nachash, it doesn't say in the beginning what it's called, but later Hashem says, Zayomer, Hashem yotcha el chakech, v'yashav yadu el chakech, v'yotzea mechko v'nei shav kisrael v'chaya, im lo yaminu loch, v'lo yishmu l'kol ha'ois. Harishain, that's the matter turning into the snake. Vehaninu lekol ha'ois, the tsaras ha'achirain. So it's explicit that in Parsha Shemos, turning the staff into the snake is called an os. My high, what's the difference between an ois and a moifes? In Parsha Shemos, it's an os, and in Parsha Va'ira, it's a mofes. So there are many answers to this question. Among the many answers, there's one popular answer that an os is a sign that you are a true representative, is a sign that you are a true shaliach. It's meduik in the pasuk very well. That means that I am an authentic agent of the representative, of the mishaleach. A mofes is a sign that the mishaleach is authentic. When you do an oath, when a person comes before someone, you do an oath, it means I want to prove to you my identity. I am who I say I am. I am an authorized representative of the company. There is the dealership. There is Mercedes. I am a shaliach. I am a dealer. I have all the documents to show that I am an authentic shaliach from my representative. When you do a mofes, you're showing, you know who I am, you know that I'm authentic, that's not the issue. You want to know that this is not a fake, that this is a real Mercedes, this is a real BMW, this is the real deal, this is the real thing. I want to show that the mishaleach is authentic. So when you're doing an oath, you're proving your identity. I am the shliach. Everyone in Klal Yisrael, go back in Parashat Shemos and read the Psukim. Everyone knew that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to redeem Klal Yisrael. But they're waiting for the Goyel. Who says you, Moshe Rabbeinu? Maybe you, it's a Baba Mai, so you know that. We know Hashem's going to save us. Who says you're Mashiach? Prove to us that you're Mashiach. When the Mashiach does an oath, he proves he's the Mashiach. Oh, Moshe, you are proving that you indeed are the Mashiach. Now, we know you're the Mashiach. But who says that when it comes to Paro, who says there's a Ribbono Shel Olam? Who says Hashem wants there to be Mashiach? Who says Hashem wants to bring the Geula now? That's the Mofes. So I think here's the difference. When you're coming to prove it to yourself, who you are, your identity, it's not so terrible for you to be afraid of yourself. because who are you anyway? Who is the person anyway? Moshe was proving to Klal Yisrael, I am a shliach. He takes the matah, and the matah turns into a snake. Wow, I'm really a shliach. It's scary. It's scary that I'm authorized to do this. Moshe sees the snake. A snake. It sitters. He runs away. What is he really running away from? He's running away from himself. He's running away from himself. Yitzita. Can it really be Hashem has given me such authority? He's blessed me to be his representative. But when you're coming to Paro, I know, Moshe, who you are. But who do you represent? I represent the Ribbono Shel Olam. There's nothing to be afraid of. If you're selling the Ribbono Shel Olam Sechaira, and you do a Moifes, Tenu Lachem Moifes, and the stick turns into a serpent, which is even infinitely more dangerous than a Nachash. It's not me. This is not about me. This is about the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Ribbono Shel Olam, I don't have to be afraid. I'm Samech on the Ribbono Shel Olam's plates. I'm Samech on the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Even if the danger is infinitely greater and the matter turns into a tannin, Moshe and Aaron, they're not afraid. But again, here in Parsha Shemos, when Moshe Rabbeinu is not doing a moifes to prove HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Sechaira is good Sechaira, he's coming to say, guess what? I'm going to be the Melech HaMashiach. Moshe and his humility, when the oath works, it turned into a Nachash. It means I really am. Am I deserving to be the Melech HaMashiach v'Klal Yisrael? In fact, it's a degree of Zamayla that he should be afraid to run away. Because it's a sense of unworthiness, it's a sense of humility to run away. So I think it explains a very good deal in why we have Shemos in Vo'era, the difference of Moshe Rabbeinu running away. The secret to the answer is, in one place it's an ois, in one place it's a moifes, an ois is for yourself, a moifes is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All depends what you're trying to accomplish. Is it proper to be afraid?
Paray understood this, and he said, if it's a real wife is or ois, then you'll be afraid of it. But because it's a asel l'cha, and he threw it down, Moshe wasn't afraid. So Paray says, I'm not afraid.
Monday,
Rosh Chodesh, 9:45.